He is speaking on different levels. Not just what life is throwing at you, but the Spirit of God is speaking, and you know he's speaking specifically to you about things. Check your conscience lately. It's probably been disrupted. Your train of thought, your focus, the things that you were going after, I know that God has begun to redirect and change because he is coming back quickly. And we talked about this morning. He is patient for our sake, but he is also coming back quickly. There is a hurrying about and a scurrying about in the spirit, if you can hear it. Things are moving quickly and they're moving faster. And so as a body, that means that you got to hurry. You got to get, this is not one of those things where it's like, all right, I'll come back and get you later. No, no, this is like, I need you to hurry. The dinner bell has rung and you got to come back home because God is getting his people ready and in place for an outpouring of his spirit. There's no time. The Bible talks about redeeming the time. You redeem the time. Get into the place where you need to be so that God's will can be enacted in your life. So it can be enacted quicker. Don't allow God to have to drag you to the point of where, okay, now you're ready. No, let's just do what we need to do to get aligned so that God could begin to fulfill his purpose in your life. That's why you've been uncomfortable. That's why you've been agitated, because God is trying to get you to move quicker. God knows how to get you to move quicker. How many of you have kids or had kids? You're at an amusement park or you're at a store and they're checking out everything everywhere and you're trying to get to the move through things quicker because we got to get places. We got to get places. And God is the same way with his kids. We're checking out everything. We want to see everything. We want to experience everything. But God's like the father or the mother saying, hey, we got to move. We got somewhere to be. There's a mission. There is actually a goal to this. We are not just hanging out. We are not taking up 70 years of space and then dying. We're actually going somewhere. So I need you to rid yourself of that sin that so easily entangles and that stuff that you're carrying that you don't need to carry so that we can move quicker through this thing. I'm coming back. I actually have something for you to do. You. Stop looking around at everybody else. Look at your life and see what I spared you from. See what I took you from and placed you where you needed to be. Don't you know that you're not here by accident? Don't you know that it was my grace that stayed the hand of the enemy? Don't you know that it was me who stopped it? Don't you know that it was me who's been rearranging your life and trying to get you to this point? I'm not through bothering you, but I do want you to understand that I'm serious about it. I have a plan for you. For you. I'm coming back for a church without spot or blemish. And that means that I got to get you ready to spend eternity with me. And I'm not playing games with you. I never have played games with you. And yes, if you're asking, I am prophesying a little bit. I'm not playing games with you. I've never played games with you. I've always been there for you. I've always shot straight with you, even when you didn't want to hear it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I've always loved you. I've always put up with you. Because I have a plan and purpose for your life, even when you weren't looking for me. I got something for you. My love for you never changes. I'm coming close. Let me in. God said, I'm trying to rearrange your priority and the space that you have on the inside of you for more of me. I know you have your space and you need your time, but I'm looking for more time and I'm looking for more space. That's where you're going to find me. I'm in the hard things. I'm in the deep things. Don't look for me on the shore. Look for me out where you can't see. That's what I'm doing. Stop looking at things you can control. Stop looking at things you can see. Because I'm leading you in places that you can't. And I want you to trust me. Trust the instinct that I've given you. Trust the Holy Spirit that I've given you. Because that's where you're going to find me. I'm going to start sending you out to places that you never even thought about. I'm not just talking about physically. I'm going to start sending you out in places spiritually you never even thought about. But you need to be ready and understand that. I've been shaking it up and I've been moving it for a reason. I'm not a guy that I should lie. I'm not just doing something just to do it. I always have an agenda in mind. There's always something that I'm doing. I do things on purpose. I don't do things haphazardly. I don't hold back because I'm afraid of what you're going to think. I give you what you need when you need it. And I'm sufficient. If you allow me to direct you and to lead you and to guide you, I'll put you in the place where you need to be. I'll shut the mouth of the enemy. I'll tell you the things that you need to know when you need to know it. I'll show you the things you need to know when you need to know them. But I need you to have your ear to me. And don't listen to anything false that's coming out of the world. Don't listen to anything false that is counterintuitive or goes against what my word says. I'll give you the tools to be able to discern what it is. Don't worry about what the enemy's doing. Don't worry about anybody else is doing. You worry about what I tell you to do, because that's where you're going to find me. Yes. Yes, that's where you're going to find me. Don't worry about the fear of man. It just brings a snare. You'll be kept safe if you trust in me. So as we continue to move forward, and for the old school people, thus saith the Lord. Okay. Well, we got to add that, because at the end, that's the stamp. Okay. Okay. So as we move forward, because that's what we are doing, is moving forward, there is always some sort of opposition that comes against forward movement. Always something. If you look at any type of sports, and the analogies always are appropriate, there's always another team that is trying to stop the progress of the other team. That's what makes it watching worth it. Because it's not just about one team doing what they want to do. It's about another team trying to enact their will and their strategy and their things that are taking place so that the end goal is to win the game. But you still have to play the game in order to win it. And so as Christians, I feel that there is a movement that God is wanting us to get into, but we have to understand that there is an enemy who's trying to take you out. That's just the reality of it. And if we cannot get to that place where we understand that, we'll always be doubting God or resisting God when it comes to this movement, because we'll always feel that opposition and think, well, this isn't God. The fact that there is opposition is a sign that God is moving people in the right direction. If you have an ear and you're tuned into what the Spirit of God is saying, you can understand that God is moving the world in position. And there is opposition toward that. Not only is there opposition, but there is also an unveiling of the motives behind that opposition. And so when you begin to see that, you understand that you're not crazy, that you're not where you should be, but you are walking where God has called you to walk because you see opposition. And so when God gives you the ability to see in the Spirit and see what's really happening, take that to heart. Because God is trusting you with the secrets of the kingdom. And don't think that God doesn't want to share those with you. But at the same time, God also wants his people to take possession of the land that God has promised each one of you. Do you know that when Adam and Eve were sent here, one of the commands was to rule, subdue, conquer the earth, be fruitful. And I feel that we have lost that as Christians. We have lost that as one of our mandates is to subdue and conquer, because we have allowed the enemy to come in and subdue and restrain because of our lack of obedience to what God is trying to get us to. And so if we can't get to the point of where we start being obedient to what God is asking us to do, you will lose out on the inheritance that God has promised you. Because it's not just a matter of God snapping his fingers and giving it to you. He doesn't just get, you got it. Yeah, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing. And yes, we are seated in heavenly places. But the inheritance that God has stored up for you, that's another story. Because there are giants and there are enemies that are sitting over that inheritance. And if you don't think that's the case, I want you to think about what you've had to fight your whole life. And it's not just a matter of well, God wants to give it to me, but I'm not getting it. It's a matter of you understanding that there are things that you have to go through in order to get it, number one, and there are things that have to be repositioned in your life in order for you to be able to receive it. God's just not going to give it to you if you're not ready. There has to be a repositioning in order to be able to receive it. Because the work has to be done in you first. Things have to be cleared out in you first. The space has to be created first for you to be able to hold that. Hold it. Because we're talking about, these are precious promises that pertain to life and godliness. These aren't just little promises. These are precious promises that God gives. And you have to understand how precious it is and guard it. Because when God gives you something, he gives you something specifically, and yes, it's for you. You got to guard that. Don't take lightly what God gives you. Don't take lightly what God shows you. Because God is setting you up and giving you an ear as a son or daughter of the King of Kings to have privilege to what the kingdom is all about. So that when you see truth, that truth sets you free. The enemy does not want you to see truth, because what happens is that when you walk in the opposite of truth, it ensnares you to not be able to see right. That's why we pray for clarity often. So you can see what's really happening behind the scenes or behind the veil. That's why when you come up to certain people, you can see instinctively by the Spirit, I see it. It's not a matter of guessing. You can see it because you're walking in discernment of what the Spirit of God is telling you. And when the Spirit of God begins to tell you something, 100% of the time is right. It's not one of those things where it's like, guys, like 99.6. No, it's 100% of the time he's right. It's a matter of the way you discern it and the way you take it. Because oftentimes you are not necessarily ready to hear it or don't want to hear it, but it does not mean God's not going to speak it. That's how good God is. God says, I'll hurt your feelings because I love you. He said, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful. I'm going to wound you because I love you. Because I love you too much to see you continue to go down this road as a son or daughter for you to abdicate the inheritance you have in me to live that way. Come up higher. Let's live a little differently. Stop giving yourself away to stuff that doesn't matter. Stop showing your stuff to people who can't appreciate it. Stop giving away your love to people who don't reciprocate it. Well, what does that mean? I'm supposed to love people with no promise of return, Pastor. Yes, you are supposed to love people and love them unconditionally. But when it comes to relationships, God says, I set up boundaries for a reason. Stop putting yourself in a position for you to be walked on and to be taken advantage of, okay, where people don't understand who you are. Don't throw yourself away because you're afraid of man, and that man is bringing you a snare. Don't do that, he said. Don't do that. You're worth more than that. I didn't die for you to be ensnared to someone else. He said, get yourself in position where you understand who you are, understand where validation comes from, and understand that your identity is in me, so you don't have to walk around trying to grope for stuff that doesn't matter. Because you remember, that grope got you in trouble. Stop playing around with stuff that doesn't matter. You have an inheritance in me. I want to get you to the place where you understand that you have such an inheritance in God that anything that is counterfeit and doesn't give you the satisfaction that inheritance does, you don't even give it the time of day. Because God said, I've set you up for that. You're my son, you're my daughter. Stop looking at things the world's way. It doesn't work that way. When are you going to understand that spiritual things are discerned by spiritual people? If you are a spiritual person, which most of us in here are, profess to be Christians, you discern things on another level than what the world does. And so operate in that arena, though it might be opposite to what your friends are saying. Operate in that arena. That's what separates you apart, to be able to see what God sees and elevate you into position where you can speak on that, because no, this is really what it is. God says, that's what I want for you. Stop living beneath your privilege. Get up to a place and begin to walk as sons and daughters. The issue is not with God. The issue is with our understanding of who we are in God. That's the issue. Because we have to go through our own test. We put ourselves through our own test. We put ourselves through our own expectations. We put ourselves through our own ringer, thinking that we have to somehow continually rise up to this position where we're worthy enough. He said, you are worthy enough because of what my son did. You are worthy enough. Stop putting yourself down as someone you're not. You are worthy enough. The prodigal son was worthy. The moment he turned back, the moment the father saw him from a way off, he said, kill something. We're going to eat. Give him a robe. My son is back. He didn't have to go through the process of rebirth. He didn't have to go through the process of becoming a son. He already was a son. He was already there. God said, look at yourself that way. It doesn't mean there are not consequences for sin. You know that dude suffered some consequences. You know he came to his senses. You know even when he risked everything, he lost. But God said, I still love you. The Father said, I still love you. But we continue to think that we have to prove ourselves back to God. God said, I already see you. See you. Don't get the proving of your faith mixed up with, I got to prove myself to God. Your faith's going to be proven and tested. Don't worry about that. Well, I want to prove myself worthy. You're going to get something. Don't worry about that. You'll prove yourself worthy. Okay? I'm talking about your position as a son or daughter. Understand that. That's why you're fought so much. That's why things come against you so much. So God can get you to see the value. The fight is just a sign that you're loved. Nobody bother you if you have nothing to offer. Nobody wants to be around you if you got nothing to offer. You're in relationship, side note, because of the value that person brings into your life. You want community because of the value that community gives you, correct? So the moment that the value is not there, you're looking for something else because you're like, it's just not doing it for me. You know how it is. You go into restaurants, you make assessments about the restaurant based upon how the service is. And we do it on a daily basis. You make assessments about stuff. And God said, listen, understand something about where I've called you to be and how I've called you to live. That you don't have to prove yourself to me. I love you. I love you. But you will be proven. You will be. Your faith will be tested. It will. Joshua chapter 7. Come on. There's several verses that are here. We're going to skip a little bit down, but you'll get the crux of it. 7:1. God said to them as they went into Jericho, he said, you know how it is. Once a day, 6 days. Seventh day, 7 times. When you shout, it's going to fall down. Hey, but don't take anything out of the city. Do not take the plunder. It belongs to me. It's very key. Very key. 7:1. But the Israelites were unfaithful in regard to the devoted things. Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of them, so the Lord's anger burned against Israel. Then Joshua, verse 6, tore his clothes, fell face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord, remaining there till evening. The elders of Israel did the same and sprinkled dust on their heads. Let me tell you what happened between verse 1 and 6. They sent spies out to Ai to look at the city. And the guys came back and said, you know what? Just send about 2,000-3,000 men. We got them. So they sent 3,000 men. The men in the city turned and routed them, killed 36 of them. Of the 3,000 men that were there, and Israel started to run the other way and melt and hide because of fear. All right, go on. Lord said to Joshua, stand up. What are you doing down in your face? Would you love when the Lord speaks to you about that? Verse 11, Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen. They have lied. They have put them with their own possessions. That is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. Strong words. Then Joshua said to Achan, My son, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and honor him. Tell me what you have done. Do not hide it from me. What they did was they started calling up all the families from the clans and say, hey, tell me what happened. What's good? Joshua was trying to get them to tell him, hey, we're going to go through everybody here. You know, like a lineup. We're going to go through everybody here and find out who sinned. Listen, they didn't play back then. You lost? They want to find out why. Okay? They didn't find out why. Not everybody gets a trophy back then, by the way, in the Bible. Okay, so here we go. If you read the Old Testament, okay, there were winners. There were winners, and then there were those that lost their lives. Okay? Achan replied, it is true. I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I have done. When I saw in the plunder a beautiful robe from Babylonia, 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. They were hidden in the ground inside my tent with the silver underneath. So they went out, sure enough, under that guy's tent, and they found it. So what they decided to do, read it, it's in there. They took his family, they took the livestock, everything he owned, down to the valley of Achor, and they stoned them, all of them. All of them. Now, Achan wasn't the only one who sinned. There were other people who sinned. Everyone got stoned. Everyone. Because God don't play. Now, there's silence because you're like, that's harsh. All right, watch. Joshua 8:1. Then the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Take the whole army with you and go up and attack Ai. For I have delivered into your hands the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. You shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king, except that you may carry off the plunder and livestock for yourselves. Set an ambush behind the city. God said, now you can do it. What's up with God? He turns. His emotions change. I'm no longer. Now, you look at God, and you can't fathom or grasp him because of his magnitude. He goes from, I'm not going to be with you any longer. Serious. And some of you right now are debating in your head, that's not theological. What does that mean? He said in New Testament, like, he would never leave me or forsake me. So what is it? Is he going to leave me if I sin? Or is he never going to leave me or forsake me? That's hard for you to wrestle with. The Bible says that to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You read the Old Testament, you better read it with discerning eyes and ears. Because he is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Don't take a one portion of Scripture and make theology out of it. Because you're going to read another portion of Scripture and look, well, that counterdict. No, because God is so multifaceted, you have to look outside that. Because God shows a portion of who he is in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And still, you still don't get all of God. You're getting a glimpse. A glimpse. So they get, he relents, he turns from his anger. Why? Because they took care of stuff that was dedicated to him. Because that stuff they took from Jericho was whose? God said, it's mine. Don't touch it. Kind of like the tithe. God said, tithe is mine. Don't mess with it. You ever decide, I'm going to take a week off. I'm going to take 6 months off. And I'm going to decide, I'm going to keep this for my own. How did that go for you? Things start to break down. And you might say, well, not really. Yeah, look at, not just, they break down. Physically, they break down. Emotionally, you start to break down a little bit. Stuff starts to break in the house. Because what have you done? You've taken the devoted thing that was God's first, and you decided to hide it and do something else with it. And it's not like God can't see. God saw it and said, okay, well, it's not going to work. Why? Because the tithe is mine. And when I tell you to do something to be obedient, it's for a reason. So devoted things are for the Lord. Now he goes in and says, all right, you took care of what I asked you to take care of. Now, by the way, you're ready. Now when you go into the city, don't worry about it. I'm going to be with you. And now because of your obedience, thank you for repenting. Thank you for your obedience. Now, guess what? You can take whatever's in the city. It's yours now. Why? It was almost like God was testing them. That first battle in Jericho, he said, by the way, we're going to start first things first. What's in that city is mine. Now, the second one, you can have the leftovers. Take it all. Because God said, I'm not going to be second. I won't be. I want you to think about it. They go in that city and they take care of business. But let's backtrack. Question. What have you opened yourself up to right now in your life? Let me go a little bit deeper. That has caused you to be open and vulnerable to destruction. Okay. Specifically, God has set up some stuff for you to do. Specifically, God has asked you to do some things as pertains to your life. And not only that, but what the Word of God says. But what is it that is not being covered, but has been left open for the enemy to do whatever he wants with? So much so that you don't have the confidence to stand up against what you need to stand against because of fear and doubt. Because you know what happens? Compromise does that. It weakens your faith. It allows you to see your instability. God said, if you would just do it my way, I'll show you how stable you can be. See, what we try to do is we try to get God's blessing, but we try to skirt around the stuff because we don't like all of it. And so we skirt around it and think, okay, God bless me, but we're not really where we need to be. And God sees it. One of his names is El Roy, the God who sees. God sees right through it. He sees what you're hiding, and he sees what you're deficient in. And so God looks down and says, I already know you're hiding that. I've been asking you for that, and you're trying to hide it from me. It's not like I can't see it. If everything is laid open before me, I can see your thoughts. I see everything about you, and you're trying to hide it. Why hide it? Just come clean. Come clean. I've got great things for you. But what we do, and we try to go around trial. We try to go around persecution. We try to go around faith, thinking that somehow if I avoid it, it's not going to catch up to me. But there's no way around certain things. You're trying to get to God and try to get God's blessing, but you got to go through the Word. It doesn't happen any other way. It's not like God decides, well, if I'm the way, the truth, and life, don't worry about it. But this way, this blessing is going to come outside my will. God doesn't work that way. Because you don't like it. He said, you got to go through the Word and do it my way. And so I'm going to test you. Now I'm going to test you and prove you. I'm going to test my Word in you. I'm going to show you that it's real. I'm going to show you. Because I'm going to release blessing in your life once the Word becomes a part of who you are. And so it doesn't just become something I read. Now it becomes something I live. Now it's practice. Now it's a principle. Oh, no. I know that now. That's become part of who I am. David said, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. So that's why when the Word becomes part of you, things don't affect you as much because you're walking in the Word, you're stable, and things can't grab a hold of you and attach to you because of the Word that's in you. Because the Word is alive, it's sharp, it's powerful. It does what it's supposed to do. It cuts stuff up. And so God said, you got to go through the Word. Do it my way. So what have you opened yourself up to? We go through different things and, you know, physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially, we go through a lot of that and we have to navigate and take inventory. What have I opened myself up to in those areas that are affecting me right now? One of the things I realized with COVID when I went through this process is how dehydrated I was. They say, you dehydrated. You got to continue to hydrate. And so for me, it was making that shift to understand in the morning, I got to start with water. Just shift that and then progress to other things because water is what helps get my blood moving, my organs going so that I can move a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I got to start moving. And so it's the same way with the Word of God. The Word of God's like water. So I got to start with that in the morning. If I start with that in the morning, it's like water to my soul. It starts to get things moving. Guess what? It activates my faith when I get up to know that, oh, yeah. Okay, now we're in it a little bit, right? Now I'm activating my faith a little bit. I'm starting to speak faith because I got the Word in me. The Word's washing away stuff. I got to start with that. So physically, that's what it made me do. So for you, what is it doing for you? You know, if you're emotionally deficient somewhere, guess where the enemy's coming? Yes. Right there. He's coming right there. And we said this before, if you have dad issues or mom issues, guess where he's coming? He's coming right into that little pocket right there, and he's going to lean on that thing. And lean on that. You were never loved. You know that. You were never loved. You never had what you needed to have. He's going to lean on that when they didn't show up again. And so all of a sudden, and you got, that's why you got to grow up. You got to grow up and say, you know, hold on. It's not about mom and dad. Remember last week, you got to start saying goodbye to mom and dad. Say goodbye to their faith. Say goodbye. It's your faith now. You're enlisted in the army. Okay. You are blood bought now. There's a new generation now that God is starting with you. No, those curses right now that the enemy is trying, that's what part of this is now. Those curses being broken that God is trying to get you through the process of, you're no longer tied to that former life. The life you live now, you live by the faith that you have in Jesus. So we talk about emotional health because of the attack that comes in that part. You don't believe me? Ask how many people come in for counseling because of emotional issues. Because it's not about the outward appearance. It's about what's happening in here. And the enemy will lean on that. And most of the time we walk in anxiety because there are things that we haven't resolved in our heart. And you're going to have to understand that is part of becoming a Christian and part of maturing. We're going to walk through different seasons of anxiety. Anybody who tells you, I don't have anxiety, let's talk to me a little bit. Talk to me. That's the reason why he said, don't be anxious for anything. Don't be. That means that guess what? Anxiety is real. And it's a test for you. So emotionally, where is it at for you? What have you left yourself open to? What is not sutured up? What is not healed? Because what is not healed and taken care of, the enemy will pour salt in that wound. Vinegar in that wound. God said, I want to do the other way. I want to help you heal. But the only way I help you heal is that if you allow me to do the work in you, that's the only way. Look, I can't go through that. It's just too painful. Son, there's no other way. I got to heal it. You got to allow me to allow you to grieve. You got to allow me to get in and heal the spot. You got to be vulnerable with me. I can't be vulnerable. Then the part of your inheritance you won't miss out on. I can't give you the spoils if you don't allow me to get into that spot. You see, we're talking about them getting plundered today, physical plunder. I'm talking about you getting the spoils of war, the spoils of things that you have gone through. There are spoils that God wants you to take up and take up as a reminder. No, you can get that one because listen, that last one, it almost got you, but your faith is off the charts right now. Man, the hope that you have now, God said, it was worth it. You see, we look at suffering as a problem. We look at it as an issue because it's uncomfortable. God said, I look at it because, and I appreciate what it's going to produce in you. We have a whole different love. The way we look at love is different from God. We look at love as it's supposed to feel good. And what I saw on TV, General Hospital, when I saw them in General Hospital and they were doing this stuff. And you know, by the way, as a side note, it's been on for 35 years. It seems like the scene never changes. And somebody need, no, you know, nothing changes. You know, people get older. They try. I don't know what happens. And we get into this fairy tale aspect of it where it's like, I just want someone to love me. I want something. God said, if you allow me to love you, the stuff that you deem as love fails in comparison to what real love is. That's why if you just let me get in and heal and show you what love is and redefine it for you, that you'll understand, nah, I found my lover. Found him. The spoil of war and being torn from that past life and allowing God to do the work, the spoil is, I found real love. Oh, wait, no. I found real joy. No. Hold, wait, I found real peace. How can I go back to something that's counterfeit and was an imitation of what the real thing is? You know how it is. You do it with food. You do it. When you have the real thing, it's hard for you to say, what was that? What was that? That'll make no sense whatsoever, what they just tried to do, because you know what the real thing is. Right? They tried something, it didn't work. So it's the same thing for you. It's like, now you understand when things come in, you're like, what was that? That makes no sense to me whatsoever. That thought process makes no sense whatsoever. That is contradictory, or that contradicts what I know to be real. Okay, that's why there are certain things that you can't be around, because it's like, man, it's not even worth it. It irritates you because you know that's not right. That's why what's going around in the nation right now for you is irritating, because you know it's not God's heart. And so once you have the real thing, that doesn't matter anymore. Once your faith is changed, once you understand that and the transformation takes place in your life, the stuff that used to bother you doesn't bother you anymore. You've grown now. Once you grow, you can't get back in your kids' pants no more. You try to get back into size 5 jeans when you're like 16, 20, 21. It ain't working no more. Sometimes you can get in, but you got butter in there. You got oil down in there. You trying to slide in and be like, hey, honey, how do I look? And your butt's about to pop out. You got stuff in. It doesn't work. You're trying to get back into stuff that you outgrown. Take the butter off and the oil. Cook something with it. Stop trying to fit in stuff that you outgrew. And you know, that's what you do, because you're like, man, I don't want people to see that I've grown. So everybody knows you're grown. Everybody knows. Just be who you are. Be who you are. Celebrate what God has given you. Celebrate what God has done. Celebrate the victories that God has given you. And don't have to apologize for it. Thank you, Jesus. Man, you're so, like, I don't know, I get a weird vibe around you. No, because you can't stand heaven. You don't like freedom. Faith irritates you. So when you see somebody operating in that on that level, it's uncomfortable. Yeah, it is. Because you know what? We're not playing around with this. We up here now. Yeah, that's how it's supposed to be. Oh, no, it's not. It is not. We are all supposed to live one happy life. We are all in one big yellow submarine. And this is just the way it is. It's not that way. It's not. You didn't come here to make friends. Well, that's what it is. Well, that's what it is for people. I just want to have a lot of friends. And you miss out on God's purpose. And you get to the end of your life and God looks at you and said, man, we could have did a lot of things. Yeah, but you just had a lot of people around you all the time. And I was just trying to get your attention. But Lord, I thought I needed them. And you never went through the process of separation and transformation to get to a place where God says, I got something specifically for you. And will you do it if nobody else does it? Well, no, I can't. No, will you do it if nobody does it? And where's the barometer? If you look here, Elijah left, followed Elijah, left everything. I'm out. God spoke to Abram and said, hey, get out of your country. Go to a place I'm going to show you. Guess what? Left. You don't see in here. Hey, come with me. I'll make you fishers of men. Immediately drop their net. Yeah. You don't see. Hold on. Wait a minute. Hold on. I got a plan. 3, 4, 5. I can move them around. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We don't see that. You don't see it. If they didn't like what Jesus had to say, guess what? Peace. I'm out. You don't see the debating for the people who really were used of God. There wasn't this debating where it was like, is it worth it? Is it not worth it? We're talking about people who didn't even know him. Who know him, but felt that there was something different about him. When he called, they're like, he's worth following. I don't know. He's worth following. And they just left. That type of authority, that type of influence. Same God today. God's calling out and saying, will you just follow me and leave? Leave what you know. Leave what you think you know so that you can follow me and not worry about what everybody else is thinking. Get away from people. But we're called into life together. You are in a healthy way. Not in an unhealthy way. Because anytime that relationship starts to exalt itself up against the knowledge of God, guess what God says? Ever notice that? Friction and problems. Why? Because you are not where you need to be. Come on now. Come on. So what do I do? Real simple. Number two, fix it. Fix it. I'm not where I need to be. Fix it. Move where you need to go. There's a reason why in the New Testament where he says, submit to God, resist the devil, and then he will flee from you. Come on. There's a reason why. He didn't say, resist the devil, then submit to me, and then, no. He said, submit to me, defer to me, be where I've asked you to be, then resist, and he will go. That's what he said. So for you, fix it. If God has asked you for something, submit, get it fixed, meaning get it aligned. Then when you resist the devil, you can stand in faith to know, oh no, I know what God has asked me to do. And guess what? He's got to go. You can't resist him if you are in a place of disobedience or a course of sin. It doesn't work that way. God is not a liar. I'm going to resist him, but I know I'm doing some things over here I shouldn't do. Then I'm going to resist the enemy. You're playing right into the enemy's hands. Until you release that, until you let it go, and they say, okay, God, I will submit, then you can stand in confidence to resist. And you know what that looks like when you are confident and when you are not. And then when you resist him, he's got to go. It might mean a little bit of persistent resistance, but you got to go. And you got to let it go. The enemy left Jesus in the wilderness for a time. Why? He was coming back again. The enemy comes back every once in a while, just to test you. And for some of us, it's like every day. It's not every once in a while. You're really doing something for God. He's like every day he's just coming. He's like, what's up? Where you go, I'm going. Every day, because you're a threat. You're a problem to his kingdom. You're a problem. So you know he has people assigned to you who want to take you out. Jesus, that there are people, there are things that God wants to do in your life. I was in the hospital and I told Misty, I never experienced warfare like I experienced before in my life. Never. And it was like a pack. It wasn't like one of those things where it's like, hey boy, I'm gonna get you. No. This wasn't third grade. Just like, we're coming. If it wasn't for the hand of God that stopped the warfare, it wasn't gonna be good. Because what was vulnerable? My physical body, my emotional state, my concept of who God was, and rehearsing what it took to get me here to the spot, all that, finances, everything, all coming. It won't come after it all. Why? Because I was vulnerable. Don't think it's not real. Don't think it's a game. It's one of the reasons why the Bible says no trial has seized you. Seized, taken a hold. I'm not talking about like hold hand. I'm talking about seize. So that you're at attention. I know I'm in something right now. I know. And you know when you're, I know I'm in something right now. All right, what's up? Hold on. You better come to me right now because they're coming. And God will let you know about that. They're coming. Why? Because you're doing something for me. You're doing what I asked you to do. They're coming. They don't want you to get out of it because they know it's on the other side. But stay with me. I don't know if I can. Stay with me. Hope in me. Yeah, I remember in the process, I was talking out loud. I was saying some stuff. I was talking out loud and said, no. I was counteracting it with faith, even when I didn't feel like it. I was counteracting it. No, no, it's just, no, it's working. I feel stable. I feel it. No, I feel stability. I feel like God's doing something. No, I feel it right now. Yeah, I'm tired. I know I got O2 on my nose. I know. I'm feeling it right now. I don't want to sleep, but I'm going to sleep a little bit anyway. You come in every 4 hours? Come in every, I don't care. Prick my hand. Whatever you got to do, prick it. I'm going to get up tomorrow morning and we're going to fix it. I'm not staying in the hospital 7 days. We're not doing that. Lord Jesus. And then I got up the next morning. I started working out in the room. I said, you got a towel? Put a towel on the ground. Okay. I started doing some Tabata. I started doing some push-ups. I'm like, O2 in my nose. Okay. Draining. I got the thing with me. Just come with me. Draining. Doing some stuff. Doing some dips. I said, now we're going to get this thing moving. We're going to get it moving because I'm not sitting here in this room for another day. Lord Jesus, come in here right now. We're going to change this thing. We're going to change it. And all of a sudden, doctors come in. They're like, okay, yeah, so this is what we want to do. Hey, if I give you the, by the way, what are you doing here? I said, I'm working out. They said, I never seen someone on COVID work out like this. I said, man, I'm a mover. I need to be moving. I can't stay in here. I said, we're going to help this process a little bit if I have to help it. I know I'm having a hard time catching my breath, okay? At that point, they didn't test me to see how I was doing my oxygen because they had me in an oxygen, and I was trying to get my oxygen level up because it was dropping, and they were keeping me in oxygen. I said, don't matter. We're still going to do this, okay? I'm doing this. I'm, like, trying to catch my breath a little bit, sitting down, and they come in, and they say, okay, by the way, that's good. Hey, if I gave you the meds, can you do this at home? I said, absolutely, I can do this at home. I'm not saying you got no shower, number one. Yeah, I'm saying it here. This ain't for me. Give me the meds. So they did a little thing. Heart doctor came in, looked at me, said, hey, everyone, give me some medication, and did his thing. I'll tell you what, it was like within half hour. Like, all right, you're going home today. And I said, Missy called, and I talked to her a little bit, and I said, hey, listen, they're going to send me home today. What? Yeah. I told her the story of what happened, and she goes, oh, and they literally just prayed. You know, the faith woman, you know, she is. And all of a sudden, I said, yeah, they're going to send me home. Because the nurse had told her previously before our conversation that I was going to be in there for another 7 days on medication that they were giving me. I said, nah. So I went home, and don't think that it's not a struggle. People are like, oh, you good? No. It's a struggle. Because still having to try to get your body back to where it was. Because it's not. Still having to catch breath sometimes because the shortness is still there a little bit. Because the body's just not acclimated. Because it wasn't just one thing that was happening. It was multiple things. Why do I tell you this? I tell you this because, number one, the faithfulness of God. Faithful. Testify who God is. What should have killed, God said, no. No. And you know what? And coming into alignment and say, you know what? Nah. It ain't going to end like this. I know it hurts, but it ain't going to end like this. I know my emotions are, but it ain't going to end like this. We're going to fight through this thing. We're going to struggle, whatever, but we're going to move out of this. And there's going to be a testimony of God's grace and what he did and the whole nine yards. God's going to use it. And the enemy is going to be ashamed and afraid of what he tried to do because of the magnitude of the people they're going to reach. Oh, he don't even know. And God said, he don't even know. Because of the danger of not having things in the appropriate place. You open yourself up to the attack of the enemy. Now, I'm not saying people, and people are all crazy because let's try to get a timeline of how you got this. I don't care. It happened. I can't tell you where it went. I can't tell you how it came. All I know is that it was something that ceased. And listen, thank God I was submitted. You hear? Because if there are people who are not, thank God, in this level, thank God I was submitted. Thank God, and it's not because of anything. Oh, you're so, no. Thank God I said, okay, Lord, I see it. I've found faith. I can see faith in it. Declaring faith. I see it. No, there is hope in this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that ability to be able to see it. Because if that wasn't there, I told Missy, I could see how people would just say it's easier just to let it go and be done. It's easier. Just let it go. I'll spend eternity somewhere. Because that thought and that rationale, yeah, crossed me. Because of the reality of it. Yeah, people don't think, well, that's not. No, it's the reality of it, man. It's easier just to let it go and not fight. It is easier to lay down and not fight. It is easier to give up and not fight. But if you will just pull up your pants and you will say, no, I am going to do this. I am going to rage against hope. That's what hope is, right? I'm going to come against it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things. I don't see it, but guess what? No, I'm going to keep coming. I'm going to keep declaring it. I'm going to keep speaking faith. I'm going to keep speaking joy. I'm tired, but guess what? I'm going to keep getting back up and doing it, because why? The joy of the Lord is my strength. And guess what? When I do it in faith, God comes in and begins to strengthen, because he responds in faith. That's what he was showing me. I respond in faith. Don't give up. Stand up. Stand up. Don't lay down. Once you do, the enemy has a chance to get you. I don't feel it. It's okay. Do it anyway. That's how you fix it. That's how you fix your alignment issue. I don't feel it, but in faith, guess what? I'm doing it. And guess what? Immediately. And guess what? The enemy's resisted. Feeling better. Yeah. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. Let's all stand to our feet. What God promised you is coming. It's coming. It is coming. I'm telling you, it's coming. But it's not going to come without you standing and your heart being right before him. And your posture being right. Posture of faith. Laying down is not the posture of faith. Standing up. When you've done everything, stand. That's what he said. As a good soldier, stand up. And once you do that, God said, I'll strengthen you. I'll give you what you need to hold up against it. There are spoils that God wants to give you. There are spoils that he wants to give you. Sometimes it comes through grief. Sometimes it comes through grief. Sometimes it comes through suffering. But that's what you do as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You endure hardship. No, that's where it comes, right? The spoils. I got my joy back because of that. And you can pinpoint it. I got my joy back. And many people think they're well, I'm just going to get it. No, no. You got to fight through some stuff to get it. And all of a sudden, that just happened to you. All of a sudden, you're going through a grieving process, and God says, here's some sprinkle dust, and then it goes away. No, how it goes away is as I submit myself to him and say, Lord, I can't do this. And he comes in and fills the place. And all of a sudden, weeping turns to joy. Grief turns to laughter, because he gets in and he fills the places. And if you're not careful, root of bitterness can spring up. That's why submission is so key. That's why alignment is so key, because how quickly bitterness shoots up and poisons. Yeah. And says, you know what? It's not worth it. This is all I got. And all of a sudden now you're bitter at God because of what he did. And it is real temptation. It is not something that's, it is real. It is easier just to say, you know what? Be honest. Well, I really don't say things like that. Yeah, be honest. It's in your head. Yeah. Don't try to play around with it. It's easier just to succumb to it and say, you know what? It's easier to be broke. It's easier just to be mad. It's easier to be angry. But Lord, help me not be that way. It's hard enough having to navigate your journey and not blame God of all the hardship. It's hard enough not to say, God, that was hard. It's hard enough not to be able to cast that on God and say, this is what it is. You got to fight through that in order to get to God. Who would want that? I don't feel like it, but you know what? You're good. You're worth it. You take me like I am. You saw it. Maybe you're in here today and that's where you're at. You're there. You're there. Your journey's not easy. It's been hard. And be honest, you can look up at me, you can raise your hand, whatever. You say, you know what? It is hard for me not to blame God. It is hard for me not to blame God for the journey that I've taken. And you just give me a little salute or a little nod. And now, yeah. God said, I love you anyway. God does not discount your feelings. He does not discount your process. He allows you even to rant and rave at times because he knows of the emotional toll that it takes on you. Why me? Why that hardship? Why that crucible? Because I have something for you. You'll like this better version. Trust me. And when you see my goodness, you'll tell the world of what I did. And that's what God said. I took 12 and I turned it upside down. I want you to tell the world of what I did. I know I'm waiting for you to get to the prize. I know, but you're getting through it. I see you. Listen, you're more charged. You're more energetic. You see that joy is coming up. Nothing's going to be able to hold you back and stop you. Why? Because you said yes. And I know it's hard to believe. Some of you are like, yeah, I know it's hard to believe. I know it. Father, every person in here struggling, just like the journey is what it is. Lord, I pray that you would intervene supernaturally. Lord, as you begin to bring healing into places that are broken, I pray that you would restore back hope, restore back joy in their lives so that they can see that you are a God, not only who's worth saving, but you are a God who saves, and that the joy of the Lord will be our strength. Thank you for restoring the joy of our salvation. Thank you for doing that. God, bring them back hope. Bring them back, Lord, just a different outlook on life. God, we even so dare to say, thank you. Lord, thank you for the struggle. Yeah, thank you for the struggle, because it's made me who I am today. No, thank you for the hardship, because it's made me who I am today. Thank you for the pressing, because it's made me who I am today. Thank you for that pressure. Thank you, God, for it. We thank you in faith. Thank you, because it's producing something in me. Thank you, God, because it's doing something in me. Thank you, Jesus, because it's separated me. Thank you, Lord, because it's elevated me. Thank you, Lord, because it's given me something that I've never had before, and that you are finding it. And God, that you are doing something specific, God, like only you can do. Thank you for getting your people, your church, ready. God, we turn in eyes and faith to say, thank you for the crushing. Thank you for the times of bruising. Thank you for those times, because they've helped us be more acquainted with who you are. Yes. Who you are. Thank you for the soldiers in this room. Yeah, thank you for the soldiers. Yeah, beat up. Thank you for them. Yeah, Lord, you like them like that. Yeah. Been through some stuff. Ready to say, yeah. Thank you for those that are, Lord, they're getting their fight back. They're running toward the fight, Lord. They're just going in because they know you're with them. Thank you, God, that even if that was it, Lord, that so that you can show us that you're with us. Thank you, Lord, that that was enough, because now it gives us the faith to continue to go. Thank you, Lord, even for those who have not come, who have not entered that process, that you're going to give them the grace to run in it. Thank you, God, for the separating even now, the separation, the wheat, the chaff, all that stuff being separated. The light becoming brighter. Thank you for all that even now. God, we thank you for what you're doing in the earth today. God, thank you even for the things we can't see. Thank you for, Lord, thank you for the set. Thank you for the doors that are going to be open. All the setups, all the people, all the promotions, all of them. God, all the doors, all of them. All the appointments, all the divine appointments, all of them. Thank you, God, for getting us to that place. It's worth it. God, we say that it's worth it in faith. We know it is because we've seen you do it. Thank you, God, that we will not see a season like we have seen over the last several years, that it is a new season. That you are bringing people into promised lands and inheritance. It is a new season. It is a new day. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.